This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by the Brand Driven Digital Event Series, featuring Twitter Brand Basics, a half-day workshop designed to help you take your Twitter presence to the next level. Learn more and register now at twitterbrandbasics.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today's guest is Brian Kramer. Brian has extensive experience in brand marketing with a focus on integrated communications and strategic business planning. His focus, fun, and passion is as CEO at Pure Matter, one of the fastest-growing private companies in Silicon Valley. As a social media strategist followed by over 200,000 combined social media followers, he's an in-demand keynote speaker, recently giving a TED Talk. Brian is the author of the new best-selling book, Human to Human, or H2H. He also hosts the podcast From the Author's Point of View, as well as Substance, Pure Matter's Luminary video series. He is a featured contributor on Social Media Today, Business to Community, and the IBM Smarter Commerce blog. He has been named a top social media influencer by Forbes, Business Insider, and Cred. Brian, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, thanks for having me. I stole that bio. I hope you don't mind.
You still, it's done. Yeah, I pulled from various bio points, so it might have sounded in pieces familiar. But if that's,
hey, thanks, man.
Absolutely. Now, if that's all of the formal bio fodder, what's something in there that someone just meeting Brian Kramer might not know about social media strategist, influencer, author, and speaker Brian Kramer?
So you can rest medicine. I think, you know, one thing that that's not in there is a lot of my personal life. And that's not on purpose. It's just that people like to hear your business life. So personally, I've got two kids. One is 16. She's a girl, Emerson, and Henry, who is 10. I'm two behind you, I understand. But
three, actually.
I thought you had four.
Five.
Well, you have five.
I have five.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I am envious and not.
Understandable. I understand and appreciate that sentiment.
But, you know, I love photography. And I just bought a new road bike, and I've been enjoying riding my bike almost every day since I bought it 4 weeks ago. So those two things are my side hobby excitements for in my life.
Can we be podcast geeks for a moment? And you said road bike, and for a moment, because we were talking about microphones and booms before we started recording, I heard Rode mic, and I'm like, oh, you've already got a Rode mic. It's a Rode bike.
That's right. Yeah, and what a difference in exercise the two of those things make. Rode bike meaning the
R-O-A-D
find and something that I can get out and exercise on, and it's been great. Though my butt hurts. Can I say that on this podcast?
Oh, you can say.
that seat is hard. But yeah, no, I've been having a good time.
Well, you talk about photography, and I'm always fascinated by that because I think of all of the different pieces. I mean, we have a marketing communications agency ourselves, and I was just saying to our team recently, if anybody came to me with as much as photos are a part of what we're doing online visually for basically any brand. I said, if anybody comes to me and wants to take any course at the local community college or something on photography, I am in full support of that.
Wow. And
I think that's a huge skill that not everybody has. It's one of those kind of easy ones to miss, like writing, that it's like all of a sudden this is a part of everything.
We live in a visual world, right, man? Everything that we see is enhanced when you are seeing a visual image, and it's a fact that people will click on something that has an image versus not, or it's a fact that people will be drawn into something faster when they see an image next to content. Those are facts. On the artistic side, it's just fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to take moments and people's faces and whatever your like is for, you know, there's so many different styles out there, obviously, in photography. Mine personally is people. But yeah, I just absolutely think that, you know, the two combined, when you look at the value to marketing, when it's used in that way, I mostly use it for personal, and I enjoy just, you know, shooting sometimes events and sometimes just on my own. But the artistic value of it and what you get out of it, just feels like, you know, you can easily pick up a camera and be an artist.
Yeah, it's interesting too. You talk about everything that we're sharing and people clicking more. And as you did that, I had a light bulb go off, grabbed my phone, which I usually set aside for podcasts. And I thought, Brian Kramer, visual sharing stuff. The last, because I'm an Instagram junkie. I'm a visual
guy. There you go.
Myself, and I wanted to say it was. I wanted to check first, so I wasn't wrong. I was like, it was Brian, because you shared a photo of a road, and you added some text over it. If life was a GPS, it would constantly be recalculating at Brian Kramer. I mean, that's a great way in terms of your personal brand, but now based on, I did not know about your love of photography, so I would assume that this photo, is that a Brian Kramer original?
No.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not.
Exposed.
Yeah,
right. This was the gotcha moment on the On Brand podcast.
I know, right? Everything else, every single image on my Instagram profile that you are looking at is all me, except for the one you just picked.
Yeah, exactly. And then my luck. But what did you use? You know, because I think, you know, these little shareable moments, the text and the image, because again, you could have gone and tweeted that, but I think it's so much more rich and, like you said, more fun seeing that visual. Which app did you use to create that?
Let's see. I'm trying to think here. And I'm looking at my phone. WordSwag,
because I know of Over, but I didn't know. And you see different...
Oh, Nick, you have got to get WordSwag.
WordSwag, okay. All right.
Oh, my God. You are going to love it.
Oh.
It is a mecca for placing words over images and looking like you just have been designing for your entire life.
Okay.
And it's great for doing memes if you're at events and you want to get them out quickly, or just go look at Joel Comm's Facebook page. It's word swagged like you can't believe. Sometimes overused, but when it's used right, it's such a great app.
That is cool. Well, I am, you know, my other deep, dark secret, not so dark for people that work with me, is I'm a big font nerd. As well. And you always see some of these text over photos that have different, better fonts. I'm like, where'd they get that? So
yeah,
I will be going to check out WordSwag.
You're going to love it. And so the next 6 hours is gone.
I was going to, yeah. Well, like you said, anything within moderation, because we all have that person that it's like, okay, you're not that quotable. But but some of that too. I mean, because again, it's more rich, more fun than just a simple tweet. And dare I say, segue alert, more human.
Oh, yeah. That was a good segue.
See what I did there? Yeah.
That was a good one.
You know, for those that that don't know, the thesis of your new book, H2H, and a lot of your current work focuses on the fact that as marketers, we spend too much time focusing on all the B2Bs, B2Cs, and what we should really be spending time on are the H's that love those pictures, the human-to-human side of things. I mean, what led you to this approach?
We've been talking about it for 13 years since we started our agency, and it's been something that's been embedded well before social media in all of us and everything that we do, dating back to the beginning of time. We have always sold to people. We don't sell to businesses. We don't sell to brands. We sell to people. And so that is something that we've been really talking about for quite a while, as a human race. But really one of the things that kind of resonated more is when social media took off and how people are trying to automate and they're trying to take a different approach to talking to the hundreds of thousands of people. How do I scale this and how do I get out there and become internet famous or build my personal brand or take my brand, my company and sell to other companies? And the problem with all of that is that you can't. There is no way that you can scale a human relationship. People build relationships with people, and you can't sell to a company. You sell to, like I said, a person. So a year and a little over a year ago, I was given a keynote at, I think it was at Bloomberg, and I gave a I put up the screen that I have had. And for whatever reason, that screen, there is no B2B or B2C, it's H2H, got people kind of interested in the topic more so in this one keynote, and they lifted their phones and did took some pictures, and those pictures, for whatever reason, again, in this one moment, took off, and over the next 48 hours, it got like over 80 million impressions, and I was just doing what I think marketers really shouldn't try to do, and I listened. I did some social listening and I saw what was happening and I realized that this was resonating. It was right place, right time, and I need to take this to the next level. And I went and self-published a book called Human to Human, and I did it in the next 5 days. So within now 2 weeks, I had a book published and out and timely and out there, actually answering the question of, okay, this is great, but what does it mean? So I wanted to get that out there, and it was good. So it really worked out well in terms of just being there, listening, and responding.
Well, and it, like I said, it seemed, I mean, that's an amazing story, giving, realizing that insight at the moment that you did on stage there, distilling that into what you did. And not only, I mean, most of us would say that we'll be good if we'll get a blog post, a really good blog post out of that moment. But you you went away and made a whole full-size book on the subject. And, from there, that's really, been a real central part of what you've been talking about. And speaking of being more human, I mean, you recently gave a very human TED Talk in which you talked very candidly about, losing some of your passion for your work, for what you were doing at the time. I mean, can you talk a bit about what that experience was like?
The experience of that I went through that you're talking about is something that I went through 3 years ago. Are you talking about you want me to talk about the TED Talk or the actual experience I went through?
I kind of wadded up two questions, and that was some Bush League interview. go in the order that makes the most sense, whether it's the TED or what got you there or some hybrid of both.
I'll tell you the story that led to TED, because that's the
for me, that's really where my heart is. And so a little over three years ago, so this isn't too long ago, I had I don't know what you would call it, because it wasn't it was life changing, but it wasn't so negative that I you know was having a horrible time. I just felt blah. And I felt like I wasn't contributing, and I felt like I wasn't giving back. And I talk about this again in my TED talk. Now that's in like 12 minutes. You have to consolidate it down. But the story of the whole thing is how I dealt with that and what I did in running a business, being a CEO, and not wanting to be the CEO of your own business, because I had automated so many things. I turned into the opposite of human. I gave everything and delegated everything away to everyone here. And we were doing really well at the time. So it wasn't like we were, you know, not the agency wasn't performing. It was a matter of Brian not feeling good about him. And I wasn't into social media yet. I was on it, but I wasn't into it. And so I really kind of I started to think about leaving the company, and I own it with my wife, so that's a hard conversation to have. So I ended up having the conversation. We talked through it. I felt like maybe this social thing, this social media thing that's happening, is something that maybe I could enjoy, and I could get out and understand what more is out there for me to contribute on. And I used it in that way. I really reached out, and I did a lot of listening at first, and then I did a lot of engaging, and I did a lot of writing. And then before you knew it, people were actually replying. And I was like, wow, I think I want to know this more. And I really worked hard, like yourself, Nick, and tried to get as much understanding of the whole thing and figuring out how I could then take this back and help our clients. And I felt valuable again. I felt like I could do that. So it turned into a path or a thing for me that led from one thing to the next to the next. And that is really a passion of engaging with people. And that's what my TED Talk was about, is that sharing can really reimagine anyone's future. If we share and we engage and we build our thought leadership, we can not only brand ourselves individually, we can also gain more insights and leverage other people's thought leadership to building things faster. And it worked. It worked for me like 10 times, the investment of time that I put into it. Not that I was calculating it out, but at the end of the day, I look back and I go, wow, that was worth it. And so here I am, led one thing to the next, and then into a TED Talk talking about that experience and how social can help you do that.
One of my favorite things that you said in there too, in kind of summarizing the impasse that you found yourself at, is that you said you didn't know who you were, or more specifically, you didn't know how to move your own brand. And for me, I get that 100%, but I know there's many out there that struggle with the concept of personal branding. I mean, you understand it and have seen how it's impacted your life, but what does it mean to you in a larger sense that maybe so many are missing?
In personal branding, I think it's a tough topic, because you and I do own our own businesses. And so to personally brand, to take on that approach for us isn't as hard, politically speaking, with our own companies, because we are entrepreneurs in that sense. And so when you say it on the broad level, what a lot of challenges are out there, I think, is with people who work for companies that want to brand themselves, people that want to build their own individual brands within a company or outside of a company, attached to a company. That's the challenge, because a lot of companies out there don't know what to do with that. They don't know, so they sometimes hold it back. In fact, I would say more times than not, they hold it back. They don't allow it. And that couldn't be that is the hardest thing. And how do you get through that? You get through it with education. You get through it with clear communication. You get through that by taking the cream of the crop and teaching them how to do it, and then getting them to do exactly what they love. When you get people doing what they love, which is shouting from the rooftops about the company that you're working for, because they're helping you build your own personal brand, and in turn, you're going to help them build theirs. So I think that's the key, is helping each other to build each other's brands. Doing it, the process, that's the challenge, and that is the hard part. It's not as simply as what I'm saying, but there is a process to it, and it can be done.
Well, and you bring up, because it can be scary from about every direction. Again, you and I, probably if you were to pick a seat to be in where this is the easiest, it is being the owner entrepreneur out there, because it's not only easy to do, it's almost something you have to do to make this go. But on any other seat outside of that, you can have concerns from the bottom up of, you know, how can I step out? How would my brand help the business as a whole? And then you can also have, you know, middle management top-down concerns of, I don't want that person getting so big that they've got this personal brand and it's kind of like a, you know, something that's only promoting what they're doing and who they are.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of challenges to meet with ego and people and process and. There's this term that I know you and I are familiar with in social selling that can be done right and it can be done wrong. When you socially help versus socially sell, it obviously it makes a big difference. And the people who know how to do that are the people who understand how to build their own individual brands. So when you're asking your team, you're asking your company to get out there and sell socially, good luck.
Yeah.
It's not going to just happen. It's something where you have to help people understand what to do first for themselves and try it. We are all in, as humans, we have to do something to understand it before we can say, okay, now I can do that for you. We have to. That's just how people work. So that's my advice, is to get people to learn it, try it, test it, sandbox it, whatever you need to do, and then say, okay, now let's do this together. That's gonna be way easier than trying to work up a mount. it's gonna be way easier. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it will be easier. You know, you said three magical or a three-letter word in there that for many kind of sums up the delicate balance involved in personal branding, and that was ego. Can you talk a bit about the role of ego in personal branding, the good, the bad, the ugly?
Oh, man. How much time do you have? Yeah,
make it a special two-part episode on ego.
This is a fun one. This is a great question, because a lot of what we had before social media was a little bit more challenging to see how authors and people could build their brands. It was way harder to become, I think, an author than it is today. It was way harder to get your name out there, to become a bestseller, because you didn't have any of the media that we have now to really build your brand. I mean, people like Seth Godin were not a dime a dozen, and it's a little bit easier. I won't say it's like, it's very easy, but it's a little bit easier to work into that now, to get your thought leadership in. The challenge that I see is that there's also room for more ego. There's room for people to to do what's called invective marketing. It's this new thing where people build up their social personas, their social profiles, their followers numbers into the hundreds of thousands in some cases, and then they go back and they start trolling, and they will start or they'll just start arguing. And all they do is just sit there and argue with people over and over and over and over again. And there's no joy to it. There's no fun in it. There's no humanity in it. So I really think that, where people think that they're, you know, sometimes, and maybe I'm just going on a rant here, so I apologize, but I really think sometimes when, you know, some people get a little too big for their britches in especially the social space, get some big numbers behind them, they think that they're hot stuff. And, you know, this invective marketing or trolling or whatever you want to call it, really somebody needs to kick them in the butt and say, look, you're they're Twitter followers. So let's all chill a little bit. So I see a lot of that going on. I see a lot of the ego aspects happening in that respect. That's the worst, right? You ask me good, worst.
Good, bad, ugly.
So, you know, the good, I'll skip over the bad cause I just think I overdid it on the bad, really bad. The good is that there's, I think that, that there is room for, like I said before, 3 years ago when I started writing and people started responding and they started engaging, that helped the healthy side of my ego, personally. And I think that, professionally, it did as well, and it can do the same thing for individual brands. Going back to that conversation, for people that want to build their brands within companies, that need to, that we all need to be validated. We all want to be, we all want to know what we're writing is resonating, or what we're speaking about is resonating. And to do that, we can now get feedback online to see that it's working, and that drives a healthy ego. And I think that's okay. It's the response we have to be careful with.
Yeah, I mean, because I think sometimes, I mean, with I think everyone has a pretty fair understanding of the bad, the ugly side of ego. But I also think there's a little percentage that gets a bad rap when it comes to ego, because it's some of it. You know, it's like needing a dash of something in some recipe. You know, without that dash, you know, that it does take to kind of move your own personal brand a bit. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, and it's not something I think people should be focusing on. It's unfortunate that we're calling it personal branding, and we're all saying, how do I become a personal? What people are saying, I should say, and I don't think that's the right approach. I think the approach is, how do I share my thoughts, my gifts with the world, and how do I then go out and share other people's gifts back out as well? It's a 50-50 thing. You know, I try to share your content as much as I can, Nick, and I try to share other people's content as much as I can, just as much as I will my own. And I think that's part of the deal. You know, you gotta get out there and actually share other people's stuff, and then come back around and share your own, and that's part of being a part of the community.
You, sir, are a sharing machine. I do have to halt the formal questions and do say that you not only talk the talk when it comes to sharing, but you walk that walk too. I mean, you are a great source of all kinds of stuff, and personally, yeah, you've shared all kinds of my stuff, which it's like you said, you have to do. You mentioned, you know, because I think the other challenge with personal branding that makes some people roll their eyes is I think that there are times and places and situations, and not everything is a call for someone being a personal brand. Do you think there's a time and a place or specific roles, or are there borders, boundaries when it comes to personal brands?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is. I think it's really important that it is done at the right time, that, you know, you really have to be ready for it. You have to be, I don't think that it takes somebody being an extrovert or an introvert, because I would actually say that I'm an introvert. and a lot of people kind of look at me and say, whatever. But I think that it comes down to really putting in the hard work first. And then if you're rewarded with it, then great. If you're not, then keep working at it. And what I mean by that is if you're an okay writer, become a great writer. If you're an okay podcaster, become a great podcaster. And do that through, you know, I did it. I think I talked about this in my TED talk, through interviewing other executives. I reached out to executives on social or at events, and I would ask them if I could video an interview with them. And I thought by doing that, I could reshare their content. And it was with CMOs of big companies. So nobody was asking the CMO. Everybody wanted the CEO. And so I would get CMOs on there. And man, I'll tell you, I started like thinking about how much I was going to share this. But then halfway through the interview, I'm like, I'm learning something. Wow, this is cool. This is actually giving me back something too. And I started to learn how I wanted to grow as an individual through being with these people and through, becoming my own thought leader. So I think that helped me then grow into understanding where my place was and how I could build a brand. So, again, there's so many mediums out there, whether it's a podcast or writing or video interviews, or, I mean, the list goes on. You just named Instagram, like whatever, pick some things and really do it really well. Or go speak at anything you can and get out there and just do it. And then all of a sudden you're going to realize that you have, maybe something specific that you can really hammer home.
You know, I think I'm hearing you say too that a big part of that is, content mastery, that you have something worth sharing. Because I think another challenge, because I talk, I also teach here at the University of Iowa, and I talk a lot to students who are close to jumping out and, getting into the marketplace for a job. And I talk about personal branding, and as I see that phrase hit them, I'm worried that they think, okay, my resume needs a logo on it. And just that gets kind of back to some of the misconceptions of branding overall. But beyond content mastery, what are the other key ingredients to personal branding that you think are critical?
This is awesome. I love it. You're like serving me up a softball here, because I've got a book coming out in May called Shareology, and it lays out the entire formula for exactly what we're talking about. So first of all, I'm shameless plugging now all of a sudden. Sorry about that. But
can I pretend for a second like I was a masterful interviewer and I had somehow, 'cause I did know about your book. But I'm like, oh yeah, that does kind of. But we'll leave this in because I'm a very human brand, and I'm showing my flaws and all that I did serve that up. And this would be a great time to segue to that as well.
So just to get back, I mean, just to quickly answer your question, some of the other ways that you can build your personal brand. That was a question, right?
Yeah.
So some other ways that you can do that is by hanging around the influencers that are there. And that's like the easiest one. Go to conferences, make yourself known, tweet them ahead, during, and after. Get a time with them. Most anybody that I know, at least, or I'm sure you know, are not going to say no if you really ask and with intent, not with some kind of stupid request. And so I think that, that's the number one way, is just get out there and ask the people who did it. Ask them what they did, how they did it, and why they did it. And then make up your own formula and build your own plan based upon that. But that's like the quickest way you can do it, I think. You are who you hang out with, as I'm sure many people have said. So, so do that. And then one of the other ways is to figure out what it is your passion is around. And, our friend DJ Waldo, shout out to him, has a passion podcast. So if you need to listen to that, go for it. But, you know, you should listen to, you know, yourself and what your passion is and really start working on that one thing. And I know so many people out there that are ADD thinking that they have to be running five different passions at once, and then they get, you know, master of all or master of none, and so they got to get you got to hammer home just one, get really good at one thing, and then when you get that, then you can move on to one more thing, but get really good at it, and I'm much happier in that direction than you know, trying to take on the world.
That's such a, I mean, because you talk about things I say to both students and grownups is essentially that lesson. Quit trying to, you know, spin all of these plates and, like you said, be the jack of all trades. I think somehow we're breeding that, and I don't know where that comes from, where this message of kind of spinning all of these plates. But whether you're talking about, you know, like Mark Schaefer talks about with content shock, and, you know, we focus so much on quantity that there's not, I mean, it's trite to say focusing on quality too, but you have to, because we're hitting a point where just kind of chumming the waters with all this stuff isn't going to break through.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. There's so much content out there. And if you want to, you know, well, first of all, the social landscape is exactly like it was back when direct mail was a thing. And direct mail was, you know, how much mail did you used to get versus how much you get now, and, you know, from companies trying to give away things and invite you to things and send you, you know, one-to-one, you know, interesting marketing things or gifts, all kinds of gifts. And now, crap, I don't even see one on my desk right now for like the last 3 days. And that's the exact same thing that we're doing in social media. Exactly. And so my point there is that everything's cyclical. You know, when you want to do something and stand out, then do it differently. Don't do what everyone's doing. Do the one thing, like I said before. Sorry, I'm reiterating. But do it really, really well. And then stand out doing that one thing. You and I have friends like that are doing that one thing, like Susan Zimmerman on Instagram. She is known for Instagram. You want an Instagram person? There you go. That's her. You want Cynthia Chavez for Pinterest? There you go. That's her. I mean, there are so many people out there that are just focused on that one thing, and man, they know it way better than I ever could.
Well, I mean, that's like my side note of that is, you know, you talked about DJ, my former podcasting partner. We did the Work Talk show for over 100 episodes because both of us thought, man, what could we add as a marketing podcast? And then realizing I wanted to keep podcasting, I was kind of back to that central question of, there's so many great marketing podcasts out there. It has to be something different. You have to find some slice of this. So tell us a bit about Shareology, kind of the elevator pitch, when it's going to be out, where people can go to learn more.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's going to be in bookstores and on Amazon and iTunes and iBooks and everywhere online. So it's the book is called Shareology. It is the basis for who, what, where, when, how, why people and brands share. And I walk through all of the methodologies that I've learned and through over 150 interviews with small, medium, and large brands, narrowed down to about 15 to 20 brands that'll be in the final book. And it's talking through past, present, and future, where sharing has been, where it is, and where it's going. And it really covers a lot. And I decided to do it through more storytelling. Just to make it a little bit more interesting, less white paper-ish, if you will. And so it's going to be a lot of stories and a lot of things that work, that that are proven, that can help people share and hopefully even make things go viral. So that's the high level overview. Otherwise, I could spend another podcast talking about that too.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be sure to link up to that and everything else. I'm going to embed your TED Talk and even your Instagram photo without an actual photo by you, but the one with words over text.
Nice.
Speaking of kind of telling stories about brands, and you know, that would be the other podcast of the crowded space of somewhat boring business books that already exist. But you talk about telling it through stories, and I love that idea, and I can't wait to read Shareology. But what's a brand, in scanning all of these, as I'm sure you probably have, that has made you smile recently?
You know, there are a lot of brands that make me smile, and I'll get to your question real quickly. But I step into brands literally, physically. whether I'm shopping or I'm flying or I'm traveling, whatever, I'm stepping into a brand almost every day somewhere. And so what I do, and sometimes this really doesn't go well with my wife because I'm constantly tweeting, is I'll tweet the brand, and I will thank them. And I will say something like, here I am. And I will just do it just to test and see and try and tell if a brand is listening, if they're engaged, or how they respond, you know, as a social person. So one of my favorite things is when I was up on up in the air in Virgin, and I was I had my internet. I actually tweeted. I have my internet, my coffee, and my electricity. What could be better? Thank you, Virgin. It was an IBM conference. And so they replied back and said, let us know if we can help in any other way. Have a great time in, I think it was in Miami. And so they took it upon themselves to look at the conference that I mentioned, look at where the conference was at, and then reply back and tell me what city I was flying to. Because I didn't see that in the tweet. And I don't think it's creepy because I actually gave them that information. So that was awesome that they actually they looked beyond what I tweeted and tweeted something personal. They personalized it, which to me was just like, wow, how many tweets did they get every minute? And then it got two more tweets or retweets from these two people who were excited by it. And by the time I landed, there were, hundreds of tweets and retweets about it. And then there were two people that wrote a blogged about it. And then I'm going to keynote at this conference about social listening. So I put a screen up showing the whole thing to 1,000 people. So now all of a sudden, this one tweet created, probably if not thousands, million or it was really huge, probably in terms of impressions that they got from all of this one tweet that they did. So I just think that, you know, going above and beyond, at least for me, going above and beyond and just looking past, you know, what's there and actually personalizing that response can have epic, that one degree shift can make 180 degrees in difference.
Now, that is a great story. And plus, I think you talk about a brand, like Virgin in the airline industry, where go take the inverse of that story, which is probably more true, a bad experience, a bad series of, it's the central point of many of Scott Stratton's books and talks. the bad stuff. And I think if you can do that, especially, in any industry, it's great, but it goes from good to great if it's in one where it's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have that kind of conversation, that kind of level of humanity with a brand in that industry.
Yeah, it's great when it's a surprise and even more so, somebody really went the distance. they really went past and above and beyond, and it just was something unexpected, and that's a brand that's a story we're telling.
So where is the best place for folks to go to learn more about who you are, what you do?
As it just so happens, my name is my Twitter handle. So at Brian Kramer or BrianKramer.com or Brian Kramer just about on all social medias.
Except Instagram. Someone beat you there and you're Brian Kramer one.
God.
Why?
That kills me every day.
That's where it's good to be a 2A Westergaard. I'm at least owning that, I think, everywhere. But that sounds like a little bit of carefully calculated personal branding, Mr. Kramer. At Brian Kramer. At BrianKramer.com.
Right. It was nice that they were all available when I went to go reserve them. How's that?
That is. If there's one thing on that's the one tactical thing I say to anybody, just go buy your name as a domain name. You may never do anything with it. It's just a thing you should have.
Right.
I think amazing how many miss that though.
Yeah. Or for the kids, I think a lot of people are buying right when they're born. They're buying, domain names and setting up their social profiles. It's kind of funny.
Kind of funny. Yeah, get them on the waiting list for daycare and get their Twitter handle locked down. They'll thank you later. Well, Brian, thank you for being on brand with us this week.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And a few final reminders. A big thanks to a mentor of this podcast with a resource that you should know more about. Jay Baer of Convince and Convert has done it again. In addition to being a digital marketing thought leader, speaker, and best-selling author, he's now created a new online resource indexing all of the great marketing podcasts out there. It's called, wait for it, Marketing Podcasts. And you can find it at marketingpodcasts.com. If you like marketing and podcasts, you need to check this out. And last, but certainly not least, you can find show notes for everything that we talked about, from Brian's work on Instagram to his TED Talk and everything else, over at branddrivendigital.com. You can also subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, help a podcaster out and head over to iTunes if you like what you're hearing and click that 5-star button to rate the show. Drop in a couple sentences for a review and submit that. It really helps others find the show. And this podcast is brought to you by the Brand Driven Digital Events Series. You can learn more about Twitter Brand Basics, Digital Strategy Bootcamp, and the industry-leading Social Brand Forum right now. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.